The scripture's reading this morning, it comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. It's love your brothers and sisters. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Which is Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40. The greatest commandment. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be.
One of my everyday happy moments is reading newspaper comics. There are about 30 different comics in the Press Enterprise newspaper every day, including Sunday comics in color, like this photo. Many of them are interesting and good in terms of teaching us about general life, including religions and faith in funny ways. And one of my favorites that I always cherish and enjoy is Pearls Before Swine by Stephen Pastis. I'm sure some of you might recognize this comic strip, and maybe you like it too. Here is one of them that I had clipped last May. Goat is talking to his friend Rat. He says, I think the most important thing in life is to love other people. Then Rat is responding, I love other people. I just don't like them. You can only ask for so much. We know that loving others is not easy. Sometimes or many times we find ourselves helpless, vulnerable, and limited in terms of helping and caring for other people. For believers, especially Christians, even though loving others is clearly the second greatest commandment given by Jesus, it seems to be quite challenging to practice the commandment in our lives. There might be several factors that keep us from obeying this command. And one of the main factors is shown in the book, Five Marks of a Methodist, The Fruit of a Living Faith, written by Steve Harper. He points out, quote, consumerism creeps into our spirituality like it does into almost everything else today. Left to ourselves, we can easily turn discipleship into a religious version of what's in it for me, unquote. That's right. Even in our spiritual life with Jesus' mandate of loving others, this question, what's in it for me, hinders us from doing our sincere act of love for others. As a matter of fact, this kind of a spiritual problem is nothing new. It started from the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve were so focused on their own desire to become like a God. They didn't know what they were doing. Even though they were already given everything they needed in the garden, yet they wanted to control everything, and even they craved superpower beyond what they were capable of. And sadly, throughout human history, so many people obviously have been asking their own version of the question, what's in it for me? And those believers, including many Christians, were and still are not exceptions. Even at the beginning of the early Methodist movement, John Wesley had this concern and wanted to assert this number five mark of a Methodist. A Methodist loves others. Can you all say it together? A Methodist loves others. Yes, we are called to love others. Not with any form of calculated or conditional love. So this morning, I'd like to share with you my three insights on loving others. Number one, loving God and loving others are interconnected and inseparable. A law expert asked Jesus this question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Then Jesus answers by quoting Deuteronomy 6:5 from the Hebrew Bible, also known as the Old Testament. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. But Jesus does not stop there. He also emphasizes the second greatest commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And his final word in verse 40, on this two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, this means that according to the common English Bible version, all the law and prophets depend on these two commands. Here the phrase law and prophets refers to the entire Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. The voice translation makes good sense with the same verse 40. The rest of the law and all the teachings of the prophets are but variations on these themes. Therefore, from the First John passage, John proclaims the best application of these two greatest commands combined. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Number two, love others by your actions, not just with your words or intentions. 1 John 3:18 is one of the most well-known verses in terms of loving others by your actions. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Yes, love in deed and truth. The Irish author, poet, and playwright Oscar Wilde once said, quote, "The smallest act of kindness is worth more than grandest intention," unquote. Well said. In our life, we have been always experiencing and witnessing so many tragedies and harrowing disasters happening everywhere. And we typically use the phrase thoughts and prayers for the victims and for those impacted. Of course, your thoughts and prayers might work in certain degree in certain situation is better than nothing. However, without any of your sincere, heartfelt act of consolation, kindness, or care, these thoughts and prayers could end up as simply meaningless, empty words to the victims. Recently, we have been hearing all kinds of sad news about disasters caused by fires and floods. So many innocent people, including many children, have been killed, and their homes have been destroyed and damaged. Nevertheless, we also have seen and heard that so many helping hands and rescue and recovery volunteers step forward to help save and restore those helpless victims in those affected areas. People have been sending their love and care by donating their relief money and goods to help the victims and their families from all over the country and even from all over the world. Yes, your loving action, whether it's big or small, truly matters and can make a difference not only in the recipient life, but also your own soul and life as well. We witness that those loving and caring people are truly creating living hope in the midst of devastation and despair. James also emphasizes the importance of your loving actions that reflect your living faith. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. We Methodist Christians are called to carry out our proactive, life-transforming, and unconditional agape love for everyone. Yes, let us love others by our actions, not just with our words or intentions. Number three, always strive to continue your lifelong discipleship by loving and living here and now. We Christians, especially Methodist Christians, are called to follow Jesus as faithful and committed disciples. So we are all on a journey of discipleship, always. Discipleship means being a follower of Jesus Christ, committed to learning from Him, growing in faith, and actively sharing the gospel with others. It's a lifelong journey of Christian spiritual growth and transformation, not just a one-time event. Discipleship is not some kind of a short-term course you can take, finish, and get a certificate of completion. Rather, it is more like our offering to God in our everyday life. Apostle Paul explains why discipleship can be an offering to God in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The same verse from the Message version, paraphrased by Eugene Peterson, might be easier for us to understand. So, here is what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Yes, your genuine and truthful discipleship is an offering to God, for it involves your commitment and dedication, and even your sacrificial love for other people. Discipleship connects us to others so that we can love one another. No wonder the South African bishop and theologian Desmond Tutu writes on love in the book, Believe, the words and inspiration of Desmond Tutu. Quote, nothing is too much trouble for love, unquote. So true. Moreover, the Dutch Catholic priest, professor, writer, and theologian Henry Nouwen describes discipleship as a living here and now. In his book, Here and Now, Living in the Spirit, he writes, quote, to live in the present, we must believe deeply that what is most important is the here and the now, unquote. Yes, here and now. Our spiritual living takes place in the present. The Holy Spirit meets us in the ordinary. I'm sure Henry Nouwen was deeply influenced by the concept of the sacrament of the present moment, coined by the French priest and writer Jean de Pierre de Cussade. Quote, the sacrament of the present moment, unquote, means that God is actively present and working in every moment of our lives. It suggests that the ordinary events and duties of each day can be seen as expressions of God's will and opportunities for spiritual growth. Yes, this present moment is a precious and one and only gift from God as an opportunity for us to love others. Later, John Wesley echoes this term by saying, quote, every moment is a God moment, unquote. In terms of loving others in the present moment in the United States, one of the main concerns for all Americans would be immigration. Many Americans, especially ethnic minority Americans like myself, and even white Americans as well, have been concerning about the recent U.S. ICE immigration, the customs enforcement officers' ruthless and reckless raids targeting certain people by racial profiling. However, these injustice cases are not just limited to those immigrants with ethnic background. Even though you are an American-born U.S. citizen, your citizenship could be revoked by the government for any reason if the administration goes rogue, like becoming dictatorship or communist authoritarian or some kind of extremist. We have already seen one of those dark history chapters in America. Did you know that over 120,000 Japanese Americans were forcibly incarcerated in internment camps during World War II? So, considering the whole Riverside County's population in 1942, including Riverside City, was only 109,000 people, this was massive mass removal and imprisonment. The whole country was detained. This inhumane and unjust detainment was carried out under Executive Order 9066, signed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1942. And those internment camps in 8 states lasted 3.5 years. The majority of those interned were American citizens with roughly two-thirds being U.S. born. Moreover, did you also know that during World War II, approximately 11,000 German-Americans were detained in internment camps? They were all considered potential spies. Can you believe it? They were all U.S.-born Americans and naturalized Americans who had pledged allegiance to the U.S. Sadly, then President Roosevelt never issued an official apology during his lifetime. However, in 1988, I still remember that, I was here in the United States at the time, Congress passed the Civil Liberties Act, which formally apologized for the internment and provided reparations to surviving internees of the Japanese Americans. This act was signed into law by President, guess who? Ronald Reagan. Yes, history records and remembers everything. And God's love and justice will prevail eventually. So, we thought this horrible chapter of American history was over and only left behind in the past. Yet, many Americans still fear and wondering, what if the evil chapter of the history might repeat itself in our time? Yes, in this present moment, we peace-loving Americans are still living in these times of fears, anxieties, and uncertainties. Nevertheless, be strong and courageous. God is more powerful than anything else in the whole world. God is more loving than evermore. We are God's people of love, justice, and peace. Despite our circumstances and situations that are on edge at this present days, we must continue loving others, especially those strangers, foreigners, and the powerless and vulnerable among us always. Throughout the Bible, we read many passages that God commands us to love others, even though they are different from us in many ways. After all, they are all God's precious and beloved children too. God clearly wants and commands in Leviticus 19:33 and 34. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Yes, Jesus emphasizes God's command again by saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Also in the same Matthew, Jesus says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. This clearly indicates that serving the stranger is serving Christ. Yes, loving the stranger is loving Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we Methodists love others. Next Sunday will be the final sermon of my sermon series, Five Marks of a Methodist. So my sermon title will be, next Sunday, On Your Marks, A Conclusion and a New Beginning, to be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.